That was wonderful. We get a chance to see how everyone gets a chance to grow. You know, you can't grow in a place where there's only the whip of expectations and performance-driven settings. You really grow when there's grace. Grace to kind of like stumble a little. We've seen the children actually grow into just beautiful expressions of being loved and knowing how to love because of that grace. And it's the same kind of grace that we encounter today. A grace that meets us with encouragement, with life. I think that's one of the things that I'm really kind of coming to find about Resurrection Sunday. It actually is this explosion of life, coming from a place where there really was none. The trees did a great job of describing the gospel story found through Jesus and his process of dying on the cross, forgiving us through that, but actually coming up from the dead into life. The disciples themselves experienced this. Having watched their master die on the cross just a couple days ago, that Sunday morning they were hearing rumblings that something's happened. And as they arrive at the scene of the tomb itself, the stone had been rolled away. As they enter, they find that it's empty. And they're confused. Did something happen? Did someone take away the body? One of the interesting things is they find actually that the linen that was supposed to wrap Jesus' dead body, his head, has been wrapped together carefully and laid aside. Okay, as one person said, that's like the equivalent of making your bed in the morning when you wake up. Something doesn't look right here. A body wasn't just dragged away. Someone took the time to actually wrap those linens and leave them there. This is the startling event that changed the experience of the disciples. But also, it's the event that changes our very own lives, because the resurrection was not just about Jesus coming back from the dead, but that all of those who would connect to him, be tethered to him in life and in love and grace and in faith, all those who have a relationship with him, we get to go and experience what he experienced. That not only did he die for us, he died our death, he lives again, and as he lives, we get to live this life and the next. It is through that whole process of his death for us that we deserve it, he did not. And that through that death and through that resurrection, we experience life, overflowing life. This is the testimony. This is the praise of Peter, who was there. He saw it. He was a witness. He ran to that tomb with John, and he saw those linens like that. And he's telling others, he's saying, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. It starts off that we don't deserve this. We cannot find this. It is a gift. It is given to us, especially when we are needing it the most. In his great mercy, what has he done? In his great mercy, he's given us a new birth, something fresh, something new, a fresh start. When everything is wrong, everything is broken, an absolute new fresh start of a different kind. He has given us a new birth into a living hope, something that meets us in the way that we live, even here and now. A hope that is alive and pumping energy and strength into us, all because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Jesus' resurrection was not just about himself. It wasn't just a story. It's not just a song that the kids sing. That somehow, through his resurrection and because of his great mercy, we are given this new life, a new birth, a new kind of life. And with it, a living hope, a hope that drives our life. I'm a pastor, and I get to do the beautiful ministry of walking alongside people as they are going through the experience of new life, parents giving birth. And that's what actually our life cycle is like. I get to walk with people all through it as they, you know, come up for their first presentation and they're stone cold. We've seen that, right? As they grow and as they begin to display their personality, their giftings, as they graduate into not only high school and college, As they find people that they love, they get married, and as they have children, even to the point of, as a pastor, I get to minister and walk with people as they encounter death. And death is a very real thing. No matter how much we'd like to just cover it and not deal with it, death is a very real thing. And pastors get a chance to walk with people through that whole life cycle. For myself, just a confession for our community, we've actually had to deal with the beauty of new life, the beauty of all the things that give us hope, that give us joy, as well as a lot of the other part. This has been a season where we've lost a lot of close friends. We've lost fathers and mothers. We've lost grandmothers and grandfathers. We've even lost children. And so our community knows, but 3 months ago, my wife and I, we lost our 14-year-old second daughter. Her name is Emma. And so death has become extremely real to us. Every day, we feel the weight. We feel the longing and the loss. And in the midst of this, I can say, you know what? You feel like you don't have any hope. You don't feel like there's something to live for. Life is not worth living at times. But I found, just struggling through that experience, that Christ, the author of life, the giver of life, by his great mercy, he's still meeting us. He's giving us life. I use that title, author of life, because that's what Christ is declared as by Peter. The same one who says, blessed be the of God our Father and Lord of Jesus Christ. Blessed be he, because what? By his great mercy, he's given us a new life, a new living hope, all this wonderful language. This guy actually preaches this to the people who actually killed him, the Jews, the religious leaders, and the people who crucified him. And he says this, he tells them this Jesus, who they thought was just this man, was in fact the author of life. That's a big title, by the way. He says, you killed not just a prophet, not just a teacher, not just a rabbi, not just a self-proclaimed Messiah. You killed the author of life. But God raised him from the dead. When we think about that word author, we think of somebody who actually makes a book, right? Or posts up a video. Somebody who has the creative energy to put something up. And author actually has kind of a new, usually people who write a book is a new book. It's not just something that they just copied and plagiarized. I know some college students do that. But authors are supposed to be coming up with something new. Well, the word here for author is maybe is actually has deeper meaning than simply somebody who has come up with a new idea, okay, and is presenting it to everyone. The word archon is the word for ruler, okay? The one who has control, who has authority. It actually is the word for source, the first. And because he's the first, because he's the founder, he has power over life. He gives life. He makes life. He brings life. Now, here's the impossible part. How is it that the author of life was killed? The one who has power over life and death, how is it that he died? It wasn't because of something he did, but in fact, the Bible tells us he died for us. He died, the author of life, he actually incredibly experienced death for us. He died our death. He went through all the feelings of abandonment, of pain, of loss, and of longing. He went through all of that. All the shame, all of the anger and wrath of God was placed on him. So that what? As he is raised to life, we get to experience his life. All of those who are connected with the author of life, guess what? We experience life. Because the author of life didn't stay in the grave. He was risen from the grave. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul describes, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Jesus died and was buried, but actually saying that because we're connected with him, we've been baptized into him, we were united with him, just as he died, we are also experienced death because he died our death. Now, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. What is it saying? Because he died our death, we get to live his life. We too will experience not only life eternal, but for life for this life. Later on in verse 8, he says, now if we died with Christ, connected with him, we believe that we will also live with him. This idea of being connected with him, living with him, being tethered to him, is not sometimes an idea that we like. You know, we like freedom. Americans love freedom. We want to just do what we want to do. We want to go where we want to go, say what we want to say, buy what we want to buy, right? And live how we want to live. But if you really think about it, when you are going through life and death experiences, you want to be tethered to the one who knows what they're doing, the one who has power, the one who has source of life, okay? When you're jumping off, you want a bungee, okay? You want a bungee. You do not want to jump off and just hit the ground. In a way, it's saying as Jesus bungeed off into death and came up into life, we who are connected with him, tethered with him, out of faith and love, we experience that same experience. We might experience a form of death, depression, despair, loss, and longing. But guess what? In Christ, the author of life, we also get to bungee up. All of his life comes to us. I'm like that person who doesn't like to be tethered at times. And I see it in my dog. We have a puppy. Her name is Sabby. She's just turned 12 weeks, a German Shepherd. And this one has a little personality. She's smart, but she doesn't obey often, yes. She gets really distracted. So when she's out and she's in the backyard or out when I take her for a walk, every little noise, she's a little afraid too, you know. I don't know what kind of guard dog she's going to make because she's a little afraid of birds, okay? What kind of guard dog's afraid of birds? She hears a bird and she goes like this, right? And so I'm trying to lead her and I'm trying to like build a relationship with her and teach her all these things, but she's not always listening. So we actually are going through the process. Okay, when I'm out and about with her, I have to tether her with a harness and a leash. And this is what my arm is doing as I'm walking her. She's going over there, she's going lagging behind, going up front, smelling over there, smelling, crossing before me. And the whole time I'm trying to teach her, just walk with me. And it's getting there. Sometimes she's really good because there's no distractions, but otherwise. But I also know that it's not enough just to have a leash on her. Yeah, I have to somehow... You can have that dog too, yes. Yes. Sorry, parents. You'll have to have a conversation when you go home. No, you can't have that dog, right? But I have to learn, and she has to learn to actually be tethered to me, not with a leash, but out of trust. So we actually are doing this, and there's a little video of her training to come to me. So I have her stay, then I walk backwards, and then I tell her, Sabby, come.
Stay. Sabby, come. Good girl. Good girl.
Yes. Do you know what's going on? She's actually she's eating the treat, the liver treat I have for her. So right now, it's not a perfect sense of trust, but she's going to need that when we're out and about somehow and a car's coming or there's a threat, right? My wife's afraid because she's cute. She's thinking somebody's going to steal her, right? If there's a threat, then she has to hear my voice. Come. Because for her, I'm the one who controls life for her. I'm the one who feeds her. I'm the one who protects her. I'm the one who gives her the sense of connection and a family. I'm her pack leader, right? And as I go, if she gets separated from me, okay, there is no life in a grander way. If we get separated from the author of life, there is no life for us. There is no hope. There is no joy. Jesus is the one saying, I have already gone through death into life. Come and follow me. Come and be with me. And what ends up happening is, when we're tethered to him by faith and trust and life, life begins to come alive. All of that life comes through from him to us. In the book of Acts, after Peter tells them, you killed the author of life, you separated yourself from him, and yet God raised him up from the dead, he resurrected him, he calls the people who are listening and says, repent then, turn to God. Okay? Come to life. Turn to God. Not only that your sins may be wiped out, but he actually promises them that that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That language of times of refreshing describes the sense of rest after working really hard, a sense of safety, a sense of, joy. This was used to describe after soldiers went to battle and they finished their battle and they're coming home. There's a sense of, this sense of refreshing and renewing. This is what it means to be connected to the author of life, that times of refreshing come in this life. And when we don't have a hope to live, he gives us a living hope. When our life seems so empty and hopeless, he gives us a new birth in him. And he walks with us. He trains us and teaches us to follow into him, his life, through that hope. I'm just going to close with a couple things. When I'm the saddest and I'm really missing my daughter Emma, I talked to God, and for a while, he kept echoing this one little phrase that helped me a lot. I feel so separated from her, and so I'm lamenting before God, I'm praying this, and God would tell me, stay close to me, because she is with me. And if you are close to me, you're close to her too. The way that we enter into life, we come into this new life, that we have this expectation and hope that one day I'm going to see my daughter again, resurrected, as I am resurrected, is to be tethered, to stay close to the author of life. The one who says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, they will live. In this life, they'll live. They'll live abundantly. Even though they die, and whoever lives believing in me will never die. And so, the Lord of life, the author of life, asks you, do you believe this? As I invite you to a time of prayer, would you bow your hearts? And maybe you've been in church before and you've had a relationship with Christ and you're here and you're celebrating. I just invite you, just as he says, come to life. Maybe there's something heavy on your heart, a loss, a broken dream. Broken relationships. That's God's specialty, by the way. He is calling you to come to the source of life. Maybe you've never been in church before, and this is something you do just every now and then. And Jesus always seems to be some religious figure or some teacher. Would you hear the gospel story that said he died for you? He died your death. That if you would just be tethered to him in trust and in faith, and begin to respond to him, begin to walk with him and follow him, even if you die, you will be raised to life with him. Resurrection life is coming your way if you would come to the author of life. Take some time and just respond to God, just where you are. Even just to say, Jesus, I'm coming. Won't you give me your life? I'm hungry for your life. Let's pray.